I don't think there's anything that would be any more valuable to invest in than to invest in your children. Praise the Lord. That's true. Amen. All of us, I don't know how long the Lord's going to tarry. Well, as I'm concerned, He may come before this service is over tonight. But I don't know, and neither does anybody else. And all of them that said they know have been proven to be wrong. But we're to live like He's coming today. But we're to plan like He's coming decades down the road. And got to get it in these children. Now, they was practicing last night, and the touch of the Lord came in. Boy, you could feel the Holy Ghost. And now they're going to feel just a little bit, all of them's going to feel a little bit nervous and inhibited. Brother Yandris is so talented. And, of course, he does this all the time. And we're just going to have to help them, give them that extra push that they need. But I thought they'd done a good job. First time just done without having to help. And, amen. Say, well, I don't like that choir. Well, we're not doing it for you. Amen. You probably ain't many things you do like. Amen. If you try to please folks that don't like nothing, and you ain't never going to be happy yourself, because some folks were born mad and got worse. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But I won't invest in. I'm glad I had a pastor that believed in investing in young folks. And he put that in me. I got that naturally. That's just part. That's part of me. Part of my rearing. Part of my. That's part of me. And thank God for the old saints. The old saints provide stability. There wouldn't be no stability without old saints. But we're all old and getting older. And it don't take much to use up our energy. Me and Brother Sparta getting wore out getting ready for church. And it don't take much to. But these young folks, we want them to burn their energy up in here.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Give their... Brother Yanders was talking to them last night about giving their all to God and being devoted to God, being consecrated to God, giving their talents to God. And we've got all kind of hidden talents here. You got to look for it. And then after you look for it, you got to give room for it to be used. Going to be baptized in the night. Sister Maddie's going to get baptized. In Jesus' name tonight. Amen. She's waiting for her grandfather, but that wasn't going to work out. So she's getting dunked in Jesus' name tonight. We appreciate that. I don't know how far I get into this. I'm on the family. And this will be family number two. I had this ready for Sunday morning, and the service came in such a way that changed. And boy, y'all women, get ready to get your shouting shoes on. Because I'm going to be working on the men. Hallelujah, man. Hallelujah. And We'll wait Sunday morning. We'll start working on those women. Hopefully. Amen. And then all us men can shout. I did pastor a man and woman that's like that one time. Man, I'd be getting on them men. And she'd scream and holler, amen. He's so mad you could lit a match off his head. Then I'd just kind of switch in the middle of it and start preaching on them women. And she'd stop. I mean, that's the end of it. She never said another word. And he'd scream, amen. And he probably didn't get no biscuits for her, amen, for breakfast the next day. But let us both in there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where I'm going to start. First Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to read verse 3, then 7. Through 12. 1 Corinthians 11, 3, then 7 through 12. Can you say praise the Lord? But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as the man is the image and the glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought a woman have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, and all you women glad about verse 11. Nevertheless, neither is a man without the woman or the woman without the man in the Lord. You can get it for yourself. If you got no knot-headed husband, don't want to live for God, you can go to heaven anyhow. If you're a child and you got a parent and your dad don't want to live for God, you can live for God anyway. But as the woman is of the man, even so the man is also by the woman. But all things are of God. Will you pray with me, eternal God? We're so thankful for your spirit and for your presence and for your love. Dear God, I pray that you would help me tonight. Touch my mind and my heart and my lips. Speak to us tonight, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't really look for there to be a runaway during this Bible class. I kind of doubt if anybody... Don't call for the ambulance. Probably nobody need it because you have a broke leg shouting so hard. Amen. We're going to teach... Taught on the family Sunday a week ago. And I want to talk to you about the role of the husband in the home. Jason, you listening? Laura wants you to listen to this. Tyler, you need a pad and paper, pen, recorder. Because Mariah wants you to hear what this got to say tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, what this head does not mean, it does not mean that you're Pharaoh. You're not King Tuck in the home. Now, if you don't know that, she will teach you that. I got my wife under suggestion. She's under suggestion because she chooses to listen to you. The very moment she chooses not to listen to you, you have lost your authority.
That's right.
But, well, hallelujah, that's the truth of it. But this head here, he's going all the way back to Genesis and creation to establish the divine order. Genesis 1. And 26 through 28. God talks about His creative plan with man and woman. God said, let us make man in our image. He was not talking to another being. Because Isaiah 44 and 24 said, He stretched forth the heavens alone. And spread abroad the earth by Himself. So He wasn't talking to another being in the Godhead. Neither was He talking to the angels. Because the angels did not help Him make man. But He was conversing with His plan and with His wisdom. Just like an architect will pull out a plan of blueprints. Said, now let us, you know who you're talking to when you getting ready to build the building. But we're not going into that. It's not the subject. Satan didn't have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that's forged, that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He them male and female. Now look yet, He hadn't made man yet. Now if you think He has, you look in verse 5 of chapter 2. And every plant of the earth, of the field, was in the earth. And every herb of the field before it grew, and the Lord had not caused it to rain. There was not a man to till the ground in chapter 2 and verse 5. But here in Genesis 1 and 26, it tells what He's going to do. This tells what He's going to do. And he tells them, verse 28, God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. Now we're going to go over to 2 and 19. Something changes. You know, here, God told man and woman that in this creation business, man was formed first and then woman was formed. And they, both man and woman, was to have dominion. They was going to share in the dominion that they had. And in verse 2 and 19, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature was the name. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and the air and the beast of the field. But there was not a help meet. That does not say help mate. That says help meet. There was not a help meet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, she is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken from man. Therefore, man shall leave father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So everything's looking good here, ain't it? Now, everything is... God looked down and said, man, I didn't like being alone. Man's a reflection of the Lord. God said, I didn't like being alone. So He made angels, and He made serpents, and He made cherubims, and He made all the heavenly host. And he looked at man and he said, man is not to be alone. And then there was another verse that I've missed here somewhere. Oh yeah. In verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. So, number one, man is going to be the dresser, and man is going to be the keeper. But he looked and he saw, you know, I'm going to make man a component. So man, he makes woman. Perfect man, he makes a perfect woman. They have a perfect family. And then Genesis 3, the devil shows up. I don't care how good you think you got it. You give him enough time, and he will show up. Amen. Said, well, the devil ain't bothering me. That's because he probably already got you. But if he ain't got you, he's after you. And he ain't giving up very easy. In this third chapter, the devil comes in and first thing he does is start misquoting Scripture. That's what the devil always misuses the Bible. And he tells her, had not God said you may eat of all of the trees in the garden? Well, God didn't say that. God said you could eat of every tree but the tree in the midst of the garden, Genesis 2:16, not to eat it lest you die. And the woman says in verse 3, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you shall not eat thereof, neither shall you touch it lest you die. Now, God didn't tell Adam not to touch it. You read it. Genesis 2:16. Well, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. For in the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. God did not say not to touch it. God just said not to eat it. Well, he wasn't there when God was telling Adam. Well, praise the Lord. He tells Adam in verse 16, and he don't make Eve to verse 19. So who do you reckon told Eve? Adam told her. That's where I want to start. It is God's plan for the man to be the spiritual leader in his home. That's God's plan. Y'all ladies, pardon me, and we love y'all, and I'm glad we got good praying ladies here. Got good worshiping ladies here. Got wonderful ladies here. But I'm working on the men tonight, okay? I'll get to you, praise the Lord. But, you know, men are to be the leaders. Spiritual leaders in their home. Natural leaders in their home. Now, some folks read that and they said, men just ought to be the boss in their home. But really, that's going to come. But you can't boss if you don't lead. Now, let's move on down to where they sin. Brother Andy, come on up and get here close. We're going to see where the change takes place. And I got a nugget here I'm going to give you in a minute. That I've never saw before. I mean, you know, it just, I was going to teach this Sunday morning. So last week my mind is on this all week. And a word falls out in my head. And I've had a habit through the years. Everybody does it how they feel. But if I get a thought running through my head, I put it in my memory bank here. And I generally don't get it together till Sunday morning. And the reason I do that, I want it to be fresh to me, where it'll be fresh to you. Don't want to give you much of stale bread. And, man, last week this word just, boom, dropped in my spirit. And we'll get it after a while. And I seen a whole lesson that I was going to use tonight or Sunday. And I believe it really, really going to help us. What does it say in Genesis 3 and 16? This is God talking to the woman after that she sinned.
Unto the woman he said,
did you know? That at this time, her name was not Eve. Her name was, you're in the Bible there. Flip over to chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Called whose name Adam? Whose name? His name? When Eve sinned, she lost her name. She was identified with her husband's name until she sinned. And when she sinned, she took on a name of her own. She's going to be called Eve, which is the mother of all living. But she lost that. She lost that. She had all of her identity was with her husband. But when she sinned, now when she started being called Eve, I don't know. It just comes that she shall be called Eve because she's the mother of all living. But here, but her name originally was Adam. Now what does it say?
Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception.
Yes.
In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children.
Yes.
And thy desire shall be to thy husband.
Yes.
And he shall rule over thee.
Now we're going to be talking quite a bit about that in the lady's end. But in the men's end, he shall rule over thee. Everybody say rule. All you men say rule. Well now, when some guys look at that and they think rule means, give me a cup of tea. Snap it up. That's their. But rule means you're in authority. And you can't be in authority if you're not going to lead. You can't lead anybody where you ain't been. That's why it's so important for the man. It's God's plan for the man to be the spiritual leader of his home. I don't want to skip away with it, but give me... I think it's way down in the lesson here, but I'm going to use it here. Give me 1 Timothy 5 and 8. 1 Timothy 5 and 8. Paul talking to men. What does it say? If any man provide not for his own,
especially those of his own
house, he hath denied the faith and worse than an infidel. I'm going to tell you what. It's hard to save lazy people. That's why you parents don't need to let your children be lazy. Because if they develop lazy practices as children in their natural life, that will move over into their spiritual life. There's so many scriptures on being lazy. I'm not going to go into all that. We will before all this study's over. But God hates laziness. He loves people being industrious. Well, praise the Lord. And God puts the main obligation on the man. Now, sometimes situations happen and ladies have to work. There's things, I'm not criticizing any lady that has to work. I'm not faulting you at that. Sometimes situations happen. Women have to work. They have no choice but to work. But God's perfect plan is for that man to be the provider. Well, pray. I'm going to tell you what is bad about, if you ain't careful, about ladies working and men working. If you got that concept that that's her money and that's my money, that ain't right.
No, sir.
That ain't right for you men.
No, sir.
Not only ain't right for you women, that ain't right for you men.
Amen. That's right.
Well, I got to say over my money. Well, she's keeping your house.
That's right. Amen.
She's having your kids.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. She's cleaning up your snotty nose youngins. Well, praise the Lord. Hopefully. Amen. But you know, if you get all that, that's why I would not marry a couple where the woman wanted to keep her name. She wanted to have that hyphenated. Forget it. She don't have a biblical understanding of marriage. But I'm going to tell you the reason why a lot of times the reason why women are out of their place is because men won't fulfill their place. And if you won't fulfill your place, you can't hardly fuss at her if she gets out of her place. Because God wants the men to be the leader. I want to brag on this church. Can I brag on this church a little bit? I preach all over the country. And again, I'm glad for one. I don't want you women to take this wrong. Because we got wonderful spiritual ladies here. Prayer warriors, intercessors, women that supplicate, women that worship. So I don't want to take that away from y'all, okay? We'll give you time next on. But you know, I'm glad to be pastoring a man's church. Where the men are in the prayer room. Where the men are leading in worship. Where the men are behind the preacher. Where the men are not whine bags and cry babies. There's a lot of things that God suffered in Pentecost. I don't believe it was His will. But there was things that God suffered because men wouldn't do their job. They wasn't available to do it. They didn't make themselves available to do it. But thank God for a church where the men get under the burden. Glory to God. The men's going to see that the bulk of the worship is pushed. Prayer's pulled. Amen. Said, and his, he's worse than, I'm going to tell you what. There's nothing worse than a guy who won't work. A guy that won't work. Paul said, if any man should not work, neither should he eat. I don't believe in house husbands.
No, sir.
I don't believe in it. Tell the world. Put it in Joplin Globe tomorrow. But I don't believe in house husbands.
All right.
Amen. There ought to be a man providing for that wife.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something else while I'm talking about that. Y'all not get it. You women all not get their nose so to the grindstone that they can't provide for you.
All right. That's good.
Some women can throw more out the back door than you can carry in the front.
Amen.
Hallelujah, I see a clown. But a man's got to provide. One of these days, old Matt's going to find a woman's going to have him. She's probably going to be blind, but... but you can't have everything, praise the Lord. And you know, he'll step into a different role. Brother, when you say I do, Jason, you did. And the moment you say, I do, there should be a yoke of responsibility fall on you.
That's right. Amen.
You know, I told this woman and her parents and God that I was going to take care of this woman. And so, you know, I what is scripture when I'm thinking, boy, you love this verse. Wait, all you guys love this. Look over here in Deuteronomy 24:5. Boy, I'm going to have all these young boys shouting. Now, we're not able to do this, but it's a good thought. Somebody said it's the thought that counts. What does it say?
When a man hath taken a new wife,
he shall not go out to war,
neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife which he hath taken.
That sounds good, don't Jace? But they wasn't able to do that if they hadn't prepared for that. In other words, the Lord wasn't going to send it from heaven. I've heard folks say, well, I'm living by faith. Well, that's fine. But you'll starve to death. You're going to be real skinny. Well, faith ain't going to feed you if you ain't got some work.
Amen.
I've seen folks, you can be sick. You're good. You'd be a good catch. Amen. That's why, you know, when you women are looking for a man, or you men are looking for a woman, you know, does she love God? Does she love God? If she don't love God, forget it. It may seem like forever, but I'm going to tell you what. Man, I feel a little reckless here tonight. I'm going to tell you why some folks. Some folks can't stay straight long enough for God to send them somebody. You can't expect not to be unfaithful to God and for God to be Johnny on the spot when you're ringing the bell. But you boys need to be faithful. Why would some gal want to marry this old ugly, bow-legged, hairy-legged boy? If he backtalk his dad. If he won't work around the home. If he ain't in the prayer room. If he's mad at the preacher all the time. That don't change when you say I do. I'm going to marry him and change him. You ain't changing nobody. If Jesus can't change him, forget it. Glory to God. But right now, Josiah needs to be building character in his life. That every mother in the church has said, man, I want my girl to marry that boy. You don't want to be the guy that when you smile at that girl and her mama sees it, her mom says, I don't care how good he looks. Hey, you done good, Joseph. You doing good? Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. But you develop into him and go right ahead. And I said this the other day. Now we don't do that today. We don't do that today. We don't make provision to do that. That's not binding. Nothing is said about this in the New Testament church or anything that even remotely relates to it. But that was a good thought, wasn't it? Wouldn't that be a great thing? Most of us can't take off a week, huh, Brother Adam? Hey, much less a year. Wouldn't that be a good thing, Brother? Tell you what, son, y'all get married, Brother Donnie, take care of your year, first. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, but in that agriculture society of that day, they farmed and, you know, it was a different day. They just built them a little cottage at the end of the little hut at the end of the farm and moved them in and take off for a year and enjoy your life. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Well, some guys couldn't stay off the four-wheelers long enough to stay home. Now, I'm not against four-wheelers. I think it's fine. I'm going to tell you what, brother, when you get married, you need to be spending some time with your wife.
Right, right. Amen.
And not with everybody else. Hallelujah. Some of them wonder why their wife is... Well, we won't go into all that. Let me get into this passage. I don't know how far we're going to get. We probably going to have more than one. Y'all women are going to be relieved. We'll probably have more than one service on these men. This is the scripture that comes to me. In Genesis 20 and 16, you talk about a story. You know, when God includes something in a Bible, in the Bible, and there's a chapter of it, then it's more than historical. He's got something He's trying to impart to you. Let me give you the story. Abraham and Sarah are traveling through the land between Kadesh and Shur and Gerar. There's a king there by the name of Amalek. And when they're going through, Sarah is one more good-looking woman. Praise the Lord. Now, if you don't think God has done something to Sarah, in chapter 17 and 1, Abraham is 99 years old. Well, glory to God. And old Sarah looked so good that Abraham noticed that she gets Amalek's eye. So the next thing you know, Amalek sends somebody to go get her. And they bring her to Amalek. And Amalek, you know, back in those days, especially the wicked kings, they had lots of wives. Some I've heard guys say, "I wish I lived back then. I could have a bunch of wives." You'll be glad when you just get one. Remember, if you've got five wives, you've got five mother-in-laws. If you want a scripture against having two wives, the Bible said no man can serve two masters. Go and learn what that means, praise the Lord. But Amalek, you know, God has done something to Sarah. And man. So Amalek decides he's going to go into Sarah. And he's going to consummate the marriage. Because Abraham has told him, "This is my sister." Abraham failed his role. You're going to see it here. Abraham failed his role. He should have never done that. And he upsets God by doing that. Now, God comes on the scene because Abraham is the guy that he's got the contract with, amen, to bring all of the lineage about. So he says that Amalek starts to go into Sarah. And God speaks to Amalek. You're a dead man, fella.
Right.
Man, that's someone you're close enough to God that God goes talking for you. You're a dead man. You got a prophet's wife. Looky. They told me that this was his sister. So, man, he gets Abraham up there. What do you mean? You nearly got me killed. And their conversation's going on. And John Wesley said years ago, had been years ago, he died in 1700s. Praise the Lord. You know, nobody run into him last week, so. But John Wesley, boy, I've thought of this through the years, Brother Sparlin. John Wesley said, if you tell the truth with intent to deceive, you've lied. You can tell the truth and lie. Because if you're telling the truth with the intent to deceive, you've lied. And Abraham said, well, looky, she is my sister. She's my father's daughter. Now, she's not the daughter of my mother, but she's the daughter of my father. They did that then. That's before Abraham instituted, before God instituted the law through Moses in Leviticus 18. And so here we're all the way down. You know what God tells Amalek to do? Go restore the man his wife and pray for him. Or have him to pray for you. And I won't kill you. Yeah. Yeah. So I tell you what you do. Verse 7. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. He shall pray for thee. And thou shalt restore her. And thou shalt not die. Well, ain't nobody here but us. But I'm going to tell you what. If you think God's going to deal with everybody in the world with the same way He deals with you, with His people, you're crazy. Because there's a special bond between God and His people. Just like there's a special bond between you and your kids. Oh, Austin can do something. How you doing, Brother Austin? You doing good? You getting a lot out of this class tonight? Well, good. Austin can do something. And they may get upset at him. Maybe even whip him. He probably got a whip about, how old are you, son? 6 days. He got a whip about 10 years ago, probably when he was 6. So he may get a whipping. But you let Brandon do the same thing. He's not going to have the same feeling toward Brandon as God Austin. Now don't you look so pious, you ain't either. Because Austin is his child. And Brandon is not his child. That don't mean that he's going to excuse Austin in his wrong. But he's not going to have the compassion on this boy that he's got on Austin. Because Austin is his son. And if you think this old cockeyed crazy world that's hating and cussing God, aiming every breath they got, that God's got the same feeling toward them that He's got toward His people that love Him. Even when they fail and they love Him, you crazy. And God gives a lesson right here. So I tell you, I know Abraham lied. And I'm going to get him for that. But said, if you won't be healed, you don't want to die, you go have him pray for you. Now we're down to verse 16. This is probably as far as we're going to get on this tonight. I want you to listen to this.
And unto Sarah he said,
this is Amalek.
Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver.
Wait! How much did he give Abraham? How much? Do you know the price of a slave was 20 pieces of silver? Does anybody remember what Jesus was sold for? That's a lot of money, brother. When Amalek saw that woman and saw her worth, tell you what, you need to appreciate your wife. Well, that next guy might treat her a whole lot better than you're treating her. Amalek saw her value. Woo! I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to let you know how much you're really worth. You just roll this silver. Can you imagine how much 1,000 pieces of silver would weigh? Huh? They're out there. They got a big mule out there, a camel, all loaded down with them. You know, what he's doing, he's rebuking Abraham. He said, you should have been standing in the gap. This is what this woman's worth, and you are denying her being your wife. And some folks never appreciate what they have until it's gone. I've dealt with men that was mean as Hades to their wife. They wouldn't work. They slapped their wife around. Praise the Lord. They were lazy. They wasn't faithful to God. Well, hallelujah. And you let the woman finally get enough and it's up to here and they're gone. And then they're trying to keep me up day and night. Squalling. Why'd this happen to me? It's happened to you because you were willing to trade her off to the king to spare your neck. But Amalek said, man, if I had a woman like that, if I had a woman like that, she'd be worth 1,000 pieces of silver. There ain't enough money to give the value of a good wife. Amen. Amen. You got a good wife. You need to treasure her. Hallelujah. I had a preacher friend of mine. He got married. He meant well. But he got married and sometimes you have to do this. So I'm not faulting anybody for this. But he moved his wife into the house with his mother and dad. Well, he should have thought about that before you get married. You kind of need to think about that. So, well, we did that in 1922. Well, honey, it ain't 1922 anymore. It's 2013. That might have worked in 1922 when they was going in and out of the Depression, but it ain't going to work today. Why, young, just live with us. They don't want to live with you. They ain't no house if it's got 18,000 square feet in it, big enough for two women. I mean, you know, if you got a telegraph to the other end, you got two women, that half will start shrinking. Hallelujah. But you know, you need to value your wife. You need to tell your wife she looks nice. You was telling her that when you were trying to get her. Well, I don't know how it's going to do with the women. I ain't getting no cooperation out of these men. But Amalek looked at Sarah. You talk about a rebuke, mother. Can you imagine? I didn't look this up. Can you imagine how much 1,000 pieces of silver would be worth? Woo! You could buy a mighty good looking woman for 1,000 pieces of silver. Heard about the old boy in Kentucky, didn't you? Got that Sears catalog. Sent that money off and they opened the box and his address in there. He said, well, I guess a woman comes later. that I paid $15. Glory. I am giving, you know, he, you know, brother, you talk about socking it to him. I paid thy who? He didn't say your husband. He said he ain't acting like no husband. After all, he told me you was his sister. So I paid your brother, that wimp. Father of faith, but he was a wimp. It would come to his neck. He done that to save his neck. Man, I mean, somebody will be charging in the house. Y'all not be throwing your wife in front of you. Guy just breaks in the door. He's got an axe. Here! Glory to God. I have given thy brother. And Abraham's having to stand there and hear that. What? Listen to this. Here's the word that jumped out at me. Go ahead.
He is to thee a covering of the eyes.
He is to thee a covering of the eyes. I looked this up. In Brown, Driver, and Briggs. That's the foremost authority in Hebrew. And it says, one definition says, as clothing from heaven. He is like a veil or clothing from heaven. In other words, he should have been there protecting her instead of exposing her. A veil so that they cannot see. A covering means a place of concealment. Brethren, men, boys, this thing about getting married, your job as head is to be the go-between, the concealment, the shield. Shield. Boy, there's some protective that comes natural in the chemistry of a woman. It's a natural deal with a woman. I mean, you know, they're just, I could give you story after story of women that scarred and hurt and marred that jumped to the defense of their baby or their child. But there should be something instinct in that husband. I'm going to be the covering for this house. I'm going to be the protector for this house. Well, praise the Lord. Not the guy that makes that bill then sends his wife down to meet the bill collector. Or some big dispute, then the guy sends his wife in there to mediate the dispute. You're to be the covering. Everybody say covering. He shall be a covering to thy eyes and to all them that are with thee and all the other. Thus she was reproved. You know what happened? Abraham's shame fell on her. You ought to never make your wife be where she has to duck her head because of your behavior. That's naturally and spiritually. Well, there's a lot of... I'm just not even going to start to get through with this tonight. But this stuff jumped out to me. A covering. A protector. I take care of it. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Well, praise the Lord. Well, can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. No chance he finds a woman that'll have him. And he's looking, believe you me. That's what we want him to do. Amen. And he, you know, she needs to find somebody that's going to tell you, I'm marrying him. He's going to see I'm taken care of. He's going to. If I need somebody to touch the Lord, I'm going to my husband to touch the Lord for me. My husband will teach our children righteousness and godliness and holiness and faithfulness. Brother, you got a man like that? Praise the Lord. I said, Sarah called Abraham Lord. She done that because, you know, he acted like that. You know, after Abraham done his bobble or two, Abraham, hey. Abraham wasn't without fault, but Abraham, hey. I'm straightening up. I'm getting it in line. Oh, Lord. You know what? This is how this works. Brethren, all you men, listen to me. This is how this works. If something's going on in this church, and I know it, and I don't take care of it, you know who the Lord's going to be rebuking? You know why church back? Do you know why church backslide and get full of worldliness and all that? That right there. That right there is the fault. Do you know why homes, churches are homes? You know why homes get full of rebellious kids and kids that won't do right? Because men won't stand on their feet. Say, you ain't wearing that. You get back in that house and change your clothes. You not wearing that.
That's right.
All right.
Amen. You boys got your phones on you? Yeah. They all got them, but they ain't moving. Huh? That man. Listen, men. I know us guys are not, generally. I'm so technologically challenged. Brother Andrew's talking to me today. He said, man, you've got to get your phone. I don't want no iPhone. I just barely do my phone. You know, that's wonderful. I ain't got nothing to get you having one, but goodness, I was born and raised in Morton's Gap 62 years ago. I'm too far behind to learn. And brethren, you need to be checking your kids' phones. Who is Lily May? Who is Lily May? Who is? I'm going to tell you what. They got it fixed up now to where you can get it fixed up down to the phone. If you're paying the phone bill, you get it fixed up down to the phone company, or you get a record everywhere they go.
That's right.
A record of everybody they call, every text they have.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I love you. Do you love me? He got nervous. An old Chancey stopped breathing. Good grief. You don't need none of the gifts of the Spirit up here. Y'all go and start getting that ready, girl ready to get baptized. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. That man's to be that covering. You're to cover. Harry Truman had a saying, "Boy, the presidents have changed since then." Hey, Brother Spartan, Harry Truman was a Democrat too. You'll be shouting over that. He was about the last good one, praise the Lord. No, I'm messing with you. Amen. But Harry Truman said, "Boy, that's what we need in leadership now." Oh, Harry Truman said, "Buck stops here." Right. Well, these are men that around our house, they need to say, "Hey, buck stops here." Right. I'm going to tell you what guys want to do. They want the pastor to make all kinds of decisions for their children because they don't want to take the blood up.
Well, that's right.
Amen. Well, I'm going to fool you. I'm not going to do that. Old Chancey here is going to choose his own woman. I ain't going to be serving on no matchmaking deal. Then Secretary Epp ain't going to be doing no matchmaking. You're going to do your own matchmaking. You're doing all right, praise the Lord. Now, one thing about it, if you got a heart toward God, you know, go old Brother Tyler, when he decided he was going to ask Mariah's hand, of course, she doesn't know, you know how all that stuff is. But he come to me and, you know, asked me if I thought it was all right. And I said, I told him, "Yeah, I think that's good. I believe you're doing good. I believe you're getting a good woman." And he said, "Well, you know," I said, you got to talk to her parents. But now, I told him it was all right, okay? I had no problem with it. And there ain't none now. But if he went and talked to this man, and this man would have said, "Oh, no. You know what? I stood right behind this man. I ain't going to supersede you. I ain't going to get in trouble with God." There's preachers that are in trouble today. And there's a bunch of marriages all scared out all over the country. Well, they prophesied this one to marry that. You don't need no prophecy. They won't be there prophesying when somebody burns the toast. Well, praise the Lord. And them eight kids are screaming. You'll be saying, "Oh, where's that prophecy prophesied?" You don't need no prophecy. You need some common sense. I ain't going against the parent. You know, the only way I'd step in and go against the parent, if I just thought they was being stupid. And I wouldn't say that in front of the kids. I'd just tell them, "Well, y'all just being stupid." Because they could do a whole lot worse than what they're doing. Well, praise the Lord. And I'd tell you, I said, "You know, y'all do what you want to. I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think that they're spiritual. I don't think that they'll, whatever." And the only way I'd ever get involved, if I got that check. And if I got that check in the Spirit, it wouldn't matter to me. It would make everybody in this house mad. If I got that check in the Spirit, I'd say, "Looky, you do what you want to, and I'm not going to be against it. And I'm going to love you. I don't feel good about it." Now, if y'all go on and do it, I hope you make it. And I'm going to pray that you do. But I ain't going to have nothing to do with it. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Because it ain't my job to be choosing. It ain't my job to be choosing folks as wives. Folks as husbands. Well, praise the Lord. And it ain't yours either. Well, praise the Lord. And you'll have a... You'll get some woman get a calling in the church. Some man get a calling in the church and they're trying to put two together. You need to leave them alone. You ain't going to... Unless you're going to support them and live with them and take care of them, you need to keep your nose out of their business. Man, this is good preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, God's good.
Amen. Go and bring that screen up, Brother McFadden. They're going to get ready to baptize them here pretty shortly.